Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet with the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Department Minnesota, and we'll meet the incoming president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard is well equipped to accomplish our missions both domestically and overseas. In order to be prepared for all types of environments and challenges, we train as we operate. Sometimes overlooked, however, is the impact that the training and daily operations we conduct has on the environment. I'm proud to say that for many years, Camp Ripley's Environmental Office has been at the forefront of conservation and stewardship efforts, not only within the state, but the nation. The Environmental Office conducts numerous ongoing studies on wildlife and plants to document the quality of wildlife habitat found at Camp Ripley and to investigate relationships between military activities and sensitive wildlife species. To date, these studies have demonstrated a high degree of compatibility between military activities and wildlife species. For example, while it has long been thought that timber wolves are sensitive to wilderness dwellers unable to adapt to human activity, a radio telemetry study was found that Ripley wolves breed and raise their young relatively close to centers of military activity and are in fact quite adaptable. One of the great success stories of the Camp Ripley Environmental Office is the identification and tracking of the bear population within Camp Ripley Reservation. Through the 20 years of the program, Camp Ripley personnel have been able to identify nuisance bears and also to locate bear dens on the post. This year, as in past years, school groups, journalists, and visitors of all kinds will have the opportunity to visit a bear den on Camp Ripley. They'll see the bear's natural habitat firsthand and get a look inside the Environmental Office's efforts to balance the needs of the military training with environmental stewardship. For more information on the Camp Ripley Environmental Office, as well as the environmental classroom, log on to MinnesotaNationalGuard.org and click on Camp Ripley.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Though one of the nation's smallest veteran service organizations, the Military Order of the Purple Heart lends some of the greatest strength to the veterans community. The Order of the Purple Heart is the nation's oldest military decoration, started on August 7, 1782 by General George Washington as the Badge of Military Merit. Revived under General MacArthur from 1931 to 1932, the Purple Heart is granted to soldiers wounded or killed by an enemy of the United States while in the line of duty. Since then, it has been granted to over 1.9 million active and former service members who have sacrificed and some who gave everything in service to their country. Joining me now to talk about this is the Department Commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart for Minnesota, Commander Willie Pargo. Commander, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
Commander, it was good to meet you. I think last week we had a meeting of the Commander's Task Force, and we met a lot of the new commanders coming into office, and you were one of them, so you got a little taste of radio. But today we need to tell a little longer story so that our listeners know what the Purple Heart is all about, and we get to introduce them a little bit to you. Commander, can you tell us, when did you serve in the military?
I served in the military from May 3rd, 1966 to April 18, 1969.
And you served in Vietnam?
I served in Vietnam from September the 16th of 66 to October of 67.
And what branch of the service were you in?
United States Marine Corps.
Marine Corps. And, sir, since you're the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, I can make the assumption that you were wounded in action.
Oh, yeah. They got me, too. And July the 16th, 1967, I was wounded by shrapnel in a place called Arizona Territory, which is south of Da Nang. We was on what's called a blocking force, and we were blocking the enemy from infiltrating out of the area while another company swept through, and we was attacked.
And so you just took a hit by some shrapnel from an explosion?
Yes, I had hit in the right shoulder, and I got hit in the left shoulder, shrapnel wounds.
And were you medevaced out then?
I was medevaced to NSA, which is south of Da Nang at Marble Mountain. 2 days later, I was transferred to the USS Repulse, which is a hospital ship. They took me to the hospital ship because my wound had to be lanced, and it was afraid of gangrene, so they put me on the hospital ship. 13 days later, USS Farsall had a fire. I was part of that incident. We were kept on the Farsall, on the repose, and the Farsall victims came on. We transferred them to Singapore, Malaysia, which was the closest friendly country with a morgue big enough to handle that many casualties. So I was hospitalized for 31 days.
Were you returned to duty after that, sir?
Yes, I went back to combat.
And you got back to your same unit?
Yes, I did.
I bet you were glad to see the guys.
Well, it was a mixed bag of feelings because I was glad to see them, but I was a short timer. So I was happy to see the guy, but I was ready to go home.
So you were counting down the days.
I had a short time calendar, as we call them.
Yeah, I remember that very well. So when you came back to the United States, you looked pretty good. You must have healed up from that real well.
Oh, yeah. They transferred me back to North Carolina. I think I had almost 18 months left, and I did the balance of my tour at North Carolina Camp Lejeune in casualty company as a brick chaser.
We're talking to Willie Pargo, who is currently the department commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Commander, when you came back, you must have gone to work for some long periods of time. When did you get involved in the Military Order of the Purple Heart as an organization?
I think it was 20 years after my discharge, I finally found my way to the Purple Heart. I think it was like 89 that I joined the Purple Heart in South Minneapolis. And that's a strange situation because I joined the chapter over on Lake Street, and I was there for about 4 months. When I went back to a meeting, they had moved. So I was a member at large for about 15 years.
They bugged out and you couldn't find them.
I couldn't find them, but then being young, I wasn't looking too hard either. And after I started volunteering at the VA hospital, another patriot came in and asked me, do you want to join the chapter? And I go, sure. So he gives me the application. I fill out the application, take it to the chapter. The adjutant tells me, I don't need that. You've been a member for 15 years already.
So then you got a little more active at that point.
I got very active since then.
Now, Commander, I understand now you volunteer out at the VA Medical Center quite often.
I volunteer at the VA Medical Center 5 days a week. I'm in escort 3 days a week, and we have a Purple Heart office at the hospital, and I facilitate that 2 days a week.
And you're enjoying doing that?
Oh, yes. This is my life now. Since I'm 100%, I'm retired, this is what I do to fill my day.
And now you were doing that 5 days a week until you became commander of the Military of the Purple Hearts, and now you got some work to do.
That's true. I have plenty of work to do. Sometimes I don't know all the work that's coming at me. I just check my email and see what I'm instructed to do next.
Does your adjutant help you out with that quite a bit?
My adjutant is my right hand. He is the one that keeps everything working.
And can you tell us, we've just got about a minute left in this segment, can you tell us what's the mission of the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota?
The mission of the Military Order of the Purple Heart is to assist vets in any way possible we can to advocate on the veterans' behalf on the Hill, on the Capitol Hill, to see what we can do for veteran benefits. And another main reason, purpose that we have is to recruit new vets because we need the numbers to let them know we are the one that help you obtain the benefits that you're entitled to and that you're receiving today.
And who all is eligible to join the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota?
You have to receive the wound in combat in the face of the enemy to order to receive to be able to become a member of the Purple Heart. Your DD-214 would have to state PH or the word Purple Heart on it in the medal awards section in order to qualify to become a member of the Purple Heart.
So if you've done that, if you've been awarded the Purple Heart, the commander would like you to re-engage with the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota, and you don't have to do too much. Add your name to the numbers, and that'll help up on Capitol Hill. And if you're retired and you've got a little bit of time, you've got some things they can help with.
Well, right now, the Military Order of Purple Heart is offering free memberships. Our chapter is sponsoring a free membership drive. If you qualify, fill out the application, get it back to us, we will pay your initiation dues to become a lifetime member.
That's a pretty good offer, Commander.
That's the price you can't afford to lose.
Commander, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about that offer one more time. We're speaking to Willie Pargo, the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we've been talking to the department commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota, Commander Willie Pargo. And Willie, before we went to break, you surprised me. We were talking about membership, and you've got a pretty great offer right now, free life membership for anyone who's eligible to sign up that does.
That's a price you can't refuse.
That's a pretty good deal, Commander. Now, is there a time limit on that?
Our chapter department at each convention, we reinstate that offer for the year. It's a yearly deal, but so far it's been 4 years has been going on. Each convention, we reinstate the free membership.
So for all our listeners out there, if you know any veterans that were awarded the Military Order of the Purple Heart, which means that they were wounded or killed by an enemy of the United States while in the line of duty, have them get a hold of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Department of Minnesota, and I think they can find that online at purpleheartmn.org. And for this year, you get a free membership, a free life membership. You don't have to do anything but add your name to the numbers so that when Commander Pargo's up on Capitol Hill talking about his membership, he can tell all those legislators how many veterans he's representing. And if you have a little time to volunteer, you could use some help too.
Oh, yes.
All right, Commander, let's get back into it. The mission and the goals of the Military Order of Purple Heart here in Minnesota, could you tell us that once again?
Our mission is to assist the vets at any level we possibly can, because once you come in, everybody is on the same level. Some people do need help, and that's part of our mission, is to assist our veterans. One purpose that I have is to facilitate veterans and their family once they're in the hospital there. Another one is Department of Minnesota. If you get in contact with us and you have a crisis, let us know. We'll see what we can do to assist you.
And in the second half of today's show, we're going to be talking to the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And we've said on this show many, many times that if you've got some kind of claim, some kind of problem that you want to press, you start with your county veteran service officer. They'll help you file the claim. But then you've got a national service officer that can advocate and help process that claim once it's in, right?
Yes, we do. NSO is named Dave Schrock. He's military out of the Purple Heart. He files claims, and he's quite an aggressive young man. He goes after the claims, and he's not one to sit around. If you file a claim under the Purple Heart, you can be sure Dave will advocate very diligently for you on your behalf.
So this is a partnership between our veteran who needs to file a claim, county veteran service officers, and the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and your national service officer who knows how to help process those.
Oh, yes. He's one of the most experienced ones in the system.
We're speaking with Commander Willie Pargo from the Minnesota Department of Military Order of the Purple Heart on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, I know that you've got some events coming up, and you're going to participate in the annual Veterans Day ceremony over at Denver Grove Heights. What's going on over there this year?
At the Veterans Service Day organization, we will have Representative Amy Klobuchar present a proclamation to the Military Order of Purple Heart at St. Paul to become a Purple Heart city. We already has the WILDS as a Purple Heart team, so we're trying to get our organization spread out and open as possibly as much as possible to the general public to let them know we're here, we're doing our part. Just because we're not active in the military, we're still active in service.
So you're recognizing the city of St. Paul
as a Purple Heart city.
That's pretty nice recognition, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
So that'll be special at the official Veterans Day ceremonies coming up on November 11th.
Yes, it will be.
Okay. Any other events coming up this year or soon?
Well, November 2nd, I'll be in St. Paul at the St. Paul Police Department, Police Federation Building, to present an award to a first responder, a St. Paul police officer who was injured in the line of duty. We can't present them a Purple Heart. We can't present them with the Purple Heart plaque for our appreciation and recognition.
Commander, can you tell us how many members do you have in Minnesota and how many chapters?
We have 12 chapters, and we have enrolled at 1,400-plus members.
And once again, if you go to purpleheartmn.org, there's a list of all those chapters and also a list of the dates that they meet and the times that they meet. And you don't have to be a member. You can just show up at one of those meetings and meet some of the some of your members. And if you happen to have been awarded a Purple Heart, then you'd be eligible for that free membership.
Oh, yes. That price you can't refuse.
You're doing a good job, Commander. Oh, we just got a few minutes left. The Purple Heart is the only decoration that attests without question to the bearer having been in combat and wounded in combat. And it's an award that can't be recommended. It's earned, and it's earned the hard way. What does it mean to you to be a Purple Heart recipient, sir?
When I got it, I wasn't too happy. But today, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I have did my dues for this country, and I'm very proud. If that was the result of it, at least I came home. A lot of people did not come home. As we say, some gave all gave some. I was one of those that gave some and returned back. And I'm grateful to be a Purple Heart recipient.
And Commander, you received that in Vietnam. I'm also a Vietnam veteran. Things have changed a lot in the last 40-some years, haven't they?
You got that right. Oh, yeah.
I think we've been influential in making sure that I know my son and my grandchildren treat those who serve and first responders much better than the treatment that we saw when we came back.
That's true. And I've noticed a surge of people just walk up and like you see me, I wear a Purple Heart jacket, a Purple Heart cap. And out of nowhere, some guy will walk up and say, "Thank you for serving." And you get this from all walks of life today. They appreciate what we did.
We never saw that 45 years ago, did we?
No.
Matter of fact, they were saying some naughty things, but we don't need to go back to that.
Okay.
So I think things have changed. They're changed for the better. And I know that you and all our veteran service organizations are working as hard as you can to make sure that today's service members and our veterans and their families are treated much better than they have been.
Oh, yes. That's why we have our donations and stuff that we present to veterans. If you're a veteran and you're running into crisis and your family need assistance, get in touch with one of the organizations, and especially the Purple Heart, and we'll see what we can do to assist that veteran.
And, Commander, the other thing you do is, as the commander of the military of the Purple Hearts, you're one of nine veteran service organizations that make up the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota. And all of those veteran service organizations get together to try to prioritize and work on some special veterans legislation that you push up the Capitol each year.
Oh, yes. We have different things that we're working on. Taxes, hunting license, disability benefits. These are the things that are at the top of our priority that we work on a constant basis, because we cannot forget those who served and those who are serving today.
And Commander, it's got to feel good to work with all those other veteran service organizations and all work for the same goals.
It's great. Them service organizations has opened my horizon tremendously, and I enjoy meeting the other service organizations, find out what we're doing and what we can do together.
Commander, we just got 30 seconds left, but you've got a free offer, free lifetime membership if you get a hold of the commander. And if you are a Purple Heart recipient, now would be the time to get a hold of the commander, and you can just go to purpleheartmn.org, fill out an application, send it in. Free membership doesn't get any better, does it, sir?
If you're at the VA hospital, we have an office at the VA hospital. You can stop in there and get this information, and we can take it from there.
Commander, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Willie Pargo, the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of very important county veteran service officers.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is the Minnesota Vikings. As Minnesota's favorite football team, the Minnesota Vikings showcase their pride in the military each NFL season by hosting a military appreciation game to honor all who have and continue to serve their country. In the preseason, the Minnesota Vikings invite military personnel to Winter Park to watch practice and meet the players as a show of gratitude for their sacrifices. The Minnesota Vikings have made commitments in hiring veteran employees and sending players and entertainment to military events throughout the year. The Minnesota Vikings have been a Yellow Ribbon company since November of 2013 and are honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with the representatives of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
As Veterans Day approaches, you may find yourself asking what you can do to support Minnesota's military members, veterans, and their families. One way you can show your support is by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate. These license plates are special because they are a gift that will continue to give year after year. Each and every day as I drive my car, I'm proud to display a Support Our Troops license plate. So does my wife on her car. To purchase these plates, visit our local DMV or call 651-4-TROOPS. Drive home your support this Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In this segment, we're going to meet with the past president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Lisa Klenk. Lisa, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Lisa, I guess that sometime in the last couple of months, your group got together, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and elected some new officers.
They did. In September, we meet for our Grandview. We meet actually at the Grandview for our conference, our fall conference. And at that time, we do elect new officers. So I am now the past president.
Past president, past we president. Can call you. All right, I won't forget that past. We've got you. Lisa, can you tell us just generally, now that we have you in the studio, what's the purpose, what's the mission of a county veteran service officer? And is there one in every county in Minnesota?
There are 87 counties, and of that, we have 85. There are two counties that actually share two smaller counties, and and the whole purpose of a county veteran service officer is to assist veterans and their family members to obtain benefits, whether that be at the county, state, or federal level within the VA system, and that is our whole purpose, is to serve them.
Now, we've got some bigger counties in Minnesota, such as Hennepin County, Ramsey County. They must have several people working in those offices.
They do. They do have a primary CVSO, and then they have the assistant CVSOs. And I think the largest is through Hennepin County, and I think at this point they have about 14 one-head CVSO and another 13 assistant CVSOs.
So what we've talked about quite a bit over the last year was, for anything veteran-related, if you're a veteran living in Minnesota, and you've got some kind of an issue or some information you want to receive or you want to just find out how to do something, all you have to do is either make an appointment or call or stop in at your county veteran service officer's office, usually somewhere they hang out around the courthouse, I think.
Exactly.
And for anything veteran, you've got the resources. You can help them get connected with the resource they need to solve the problem.
Exactly. We are here to serve them. We have been mandated since 1948 by the state legislation to ensure that we are here to support them. And through the years, that's what we've done. And that's our focus and that's our role.
The mission, I've got this off of your website. Let's see if it matches what you said. This is the mission of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, works collaboratively with the Department of Veterans Affairs and nationally chartered veteran service organizations in promoting the interests and welfare of veterans who have served in the Armed Forces of the United States of America, their family members, and survivors. And their purpose is to enhance the quality of their lives through advising, counseling, claims assistance, education, advocacy, and special programs, and to ensure that they each receive all the benefits and services they so well deserve for the hardships they have endured. Does that sound like what you've done the last year?
It is, and mine was a Cliff Note version.
Well, we had to make sure it was expanded there, because what we've said over and over again is, if You got a problem, find your DD-214, go see your county veteran service officer.
Yep, and get that recorded in your county so you do not lose it. And when you need it, you'll have it.
And even if you don't need anything today, if you take your discharge certificate down there, get it registered, then you're on file. And if you or your family at some point in the future need some help, you've got everything you need to get started.
Exactly. And, you know, you never know when you walk in and you talk to that CVSO, they may know something that you don't, and you may leave there with something and a benefit that you were unaware of.
And one of the things we always repeat is that even if you can't find your discharge certificate, go see your county veteran service officer. They probably know where to find it.
We have our ways.
At least I knew you were going to say that. There's no secrets, though. You keep track of those things, don't you?
No, we do.
Now, how many, the commissioner says that we've got like 365 or 70,000 veterans in Minnesota.
Yeah, we have about 376, I believe the last total was.
And we're talking about the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Mm-hmm. County Veteran Service Officers are county employees.
Correct.
But you work very closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yes. I mean, they are a very proponent of our job every day, and they support us. We actually receive a yearly grant from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Each one of the CVSOs apply for that, and that is utilized for funds above what our county budget is. So that just is enhancing our program to assist us in operational grants, whether that be for anything from getting second opinions for medical evaluations for veterans, to gas cards, to advertising, to marketing within our area, even transportation. It supports different efforts that perhaps that county cannot afford. However, that additional monies enables us to provide additional services within the county.
We're speaking with Lisa Klink, the past president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Lisa, I've been to a couple of you have spring and fall conventions, and I've been honored to come there and speak a couple of times. But the one thing that sticks out in my mind is when I take a look at the agenda from those, there's a lot of education going on.
Oh, yes. I mean, we are a highly trained and professional group of individuals. And every year we try to improve upon our education system and the type of education that we provide. This year, one thing that we did and I'm pretty excited to talk about was that the fact that our training chair, we worked on a process where we provide a different level of courses that based on your seniority, whether that be a year or 10, that you could pick and choose a class that would meet the needs of you as a CVSO and where you're at in your position professionally. So it was very exciting and we got a lot of positive feedback. We were able to provide additional trainers, additional classes with a variety of different options. So it was pretty exciting and I think we're going to continue that format.
And Lisa, one of the other things I notice is at those conventions, there's a lot of the current commanders from the and adjutants from the veteran service organizations around Minnesota. And one of the examples I'd like to use probably is the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, because they provide vans to get our veterans to and from their medical appointments. And I think each year they put two or three new vans in place. And one of the things we've talked about on this show is all their drivers are volunteer drivers, so they're always looking for drivers. But they're there at your twice a year convention so that you can learn what they're doing. They can learn what you're doing. They're a resource for you, aren't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, they're a great resource. And we were, I think a couple years ago, DEV was able to come into the North area and provide transportation that didn't exist there before for veterans to get to the Fargo Medical Center. So there's a lot of great things that DEV does to support the CVSOs, even locally at smaller counties. I've even looked at options like that for myself in my county because of the changes that are going with our transportation system. So it's a great program, and we're glad that they're here to help us.
And so then those conventions are an opportunity for all your county veteran service officers to meet those new officers each year from the veteran service organizations and meet folks that come in from other organizations that provide resources to help our veterans and our families.
Oh, yeah. We really appreciate the American Legion, the VFW, the Military Order Purple Heart. All of these individual groups are well-trained. They're national service officers, but also they're the people that we generally talk on the phone with. We don't necessarily see them face-to-face. So when we do get that opportunity, it's a great time to really talk about the issues that we're facing and discuss ways of improving on that.
Now, we have a guest in the studio for the first time. Would you like to introduce him?
I would. I'm super excited. Actually, last year he was not only my trainer, training chair, but he was also the vice president of our organization last year. But this year he is now the president, and I'm excited to introduce Jason Marquardt. He is the CVSO from Fillmore County.
Thank you.
Jason, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Are you excited about taking this position for the next year?
Excited and nervous.
You've been watching Lisa too close.
We had at least weekly phone conversations during her presidency, so I got to get a taste of it through her eyes.
And you volunteered for this position anyway.
Yes, I did.
You're a good man. You're a good man. Now, can you tell me, I understand you're still in the service.
I am. I have 23 years total service, 16 with the Minnesota National Guard and the 34th Military Police Company, and now I'm with 2nd Brigade of the 102nd Division over at Fort Snelling, and we are a brigade of military police instructors.
And has that helped you a lot as the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer to have some information about the military and their veterans?
I think it helps having, you know, being a current member of the military. I can see from our units what's going on and what's affecting the soldiers, especially in the reserve status. And then if I it's a resource for me also, being able to call up my S1 and ask them, hey, what's going on with this thing within the military?
Jason, we have to take a short break. When we come back in the fourth segment, we want to talk a little bit more about Fillmore County and your new position as president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On these last two segments, we've been talking with the past president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Lisa Klink, and the current president of that organization, Jason Marquardt. Jason, glad to have you in the studio, and Lisa's still here, so we'll have to send her some hand signals to stay over there and just stay in the background for a minute now. Now, she's been giving you little clues about what we're going to talk about this year, right?
No. She hasn't. She just said you have to come up with your own topics and do your own radio show.
Well, what we do is every 4 weeks, we're going to try to call you on the phone and ask you what's going on in the world of county veteran service officers in Minnesota. And over the last few years when we've been doing that, there's been a new tip or maybe a new hot topic every month that we talk about to try to tell our listeners on 36 stations all over Minnesota how to solve their problems, anything veteran-related. And one of the things we always say is go visit your county veteran service officer. Now, you're the county veteran service officer in Fillmore County. Where's that in Minnesota?
Fillmore County is down in southeastern Minnesota. We're the county right below Olmsted, which houses Rochester and the Mayo Clinic. Plus, we are also the home to the newest state veteran cemetery.
Down in Preston, Minnesota.
That's correct.
And how many veterans do you have in Fillmore County, roughly?
Roughly, we have about 1,500 veterans.
And how long have you been the county veteran service officer?
Last month, I just finished my fifth year as the county veteran service officer for them.
And you're still serving in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
No, I'm in the U.S. Army Reserve now.
Army Reserve, okay. So how do you like it, being the county veteran service officer for 5 years?
There's been some trying times, there's been some fun times, but I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's a job that gives back to me just in being able to help the veterans and their families get the benefits they need or deserve.
Do you think most of the veterans down in that part of the state know that there's a county veteran service officer in every county?
I don't think they know that there's one in every county, but at least they know that there is one in their county.
Now, there's no restriction if you're the Fillmore County veteran service officer. But if I wanted to, I could come to you for help, couldn't I?
That's correct. We will, as county veteran service officers, see any veteran. And for whatever reason, they don't want to go to their county veteran service officer, we're glad to help them so they still receive the benefits.
So if you got a real sticky problem and you need somebody to really get after it, you just go over and you talk to Lisa Klink and let her take it on, right?
That's what I do with mine.
Yeah, right.
Lisa, do you often get veterans from outside your county?
I do. And I think across the board, I think most people do. A lot of times we're on borders. So sometimes our county seat might be closer than their county seat, you know, whereas it just depends. And sometimes it's who you're familiar with. Some, you know, a lot of times women will come to me because of whatever the issue they're dealing with, and they feel more comfortable talking to another woman. And there are some other generations, older generation of men that feel more comfortable talking to men only and not women. So, you know, I think it just differs. And sometimes it's personality. They just feel they click, or it's a family member or a friend of a friend. And so, you know, I think it most importantly is that we are taking care of the veterans and their families. I don't think any of us care where you come from. We just want to take care of you.
Well, Jason, we can't let her dominate the rest of the segment. So, but one of the issues that we keep hearing about from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is that over the course since 9/11, 2011 or 2001, there's more and more women veterans.
There is, and even in my little county, I've seen that raise.
And so they have sometimes some different issues, but probably it's just the same thing. They're veterans' issues, and I know the VA Medical Center has gone out of their way to expand the services available for our women veterans. Are there new resources available to you over the last 5 years for our women veterans?
Not really new resources in the last 5 years for me. We get them in touch with the VA. The VA takes care of them, whether they do it inpatient at the VA Medical Center or they send them to an outside facility because of, you know, an issue like pregnancy, you know, where veterans need the prenatal care and stuff like that. I know in the past the VA was sending them out to their local hospitals because they didn't have the capacity to care for it.
The VA Medical Center tells us they can do everything except deliver the babies these days, and so they've expanded that, and the women veterans we've talked to are happy that they're doing a better job of it. Is there any one thing that you'd like our listeners to know about your organization, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers?
The one thing I would like everyone to know is we are an absolute free resource. It costs no money to come see your county veteran service officer, and we help you with the paperwork, guide you through the process so that you have the best experience possible. And we're not the decision makers, so we can be your ultimate advocate to fight, being we know the laws and regulations of the VA.
We're speaking to Jason Marquardt and Lisa Klenk on Minnesota Military Radio about the County Veteran Service Officers and their Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Jason, I know that there's a lot of veterans out there, particularly from Vietnam, and maybe some older, maybe some Korean veterans, or even the first Gulf War, that kind of had the attitude that I'm not going to go to the VA, I'm not going to go to my county veteran service officer, I'm going to leave that for those veterans that lost an arm or a leg, that were seriously wounded, that had, you know, real problems, not just me or somebody else that might have some PTSD trouble, might have some issues related to Agent Orange, let's say, in Vietnam, or issues related to burning oil wells in the first Gulf War. What would you have to say to those veterans that haven't ever talked to a county veteran service officer?
I would tell them to go in and see their county veteran service officer. There is plenty of benefits to go around for the 3% of our population that has served their country. And every one of them is deserving as the person right next to them.
So even though you think that's reserved for people that were injured or hurt worse than you, really should step up and ask some questions.
Right, they should. They should ask questions, see what's actually available for them also, because every veteran is unique and not every situation is the same. So we can, you know, the benefits are going to change, and you won't have to feel like you're taking benefits away from another veteran.
So if you served in the United States military and you were deployed and you went to war and you've got some condition that's related to that, you've earned this benefit.
Yes.
It's, step up and ask what can be done to help.
Yep. It's an earned benefit. It's not a given benefit. And even if you didn't deploy and you were stateside and got injured, you still earn that benefit because it happened to you during your time in the military.
And even today, you're serving in the reserves, you've served to the Guard. There's a lot of deployments, and things have changed the last 15 years, and I'm sure that that's affected the capacity of the VA Medical Center and the number of calls you get.
Yep, it has. It's only increased because of, you know, all the current things going on with the military. So veterans need to know that they need to go into the VA because that's ultimately how the VA is funded, too. The more people they see, the more funding they can get.
So the one thing that Lisa and I have talked about and her predecessors at length is the first place to start is with your county veteran service officer.
That's correct.
You've got the training. You've got the resources. No matter what they need, you can probably find a way to refer them to someone who can help take care of them.
Yep. And if I don't know, I have no problem, even with the veteran sitting in my office, picking up the phone and calling a more senior CVSO or county veteran service officer to get the right answer so we can make sure that they're getting to the right services.
So you get on the phone and say, I've got this issue. I'm not sure what to do with it. Have you experienced it? Probably if they've been around longer, they have, and they say, start here, go here. And that's part of what the association is about, to make sure that everyone has access to that training and that knowledge and the ability to help your veterans.
Yep, that's why we're an association, so we can work as one team to make sure that we're serving the veterans and their families.
Lisa, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any words of wisdom for Jason for his coming year as the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers?
Well, I think he's going to do a great job. Just keep doing what you're doing, and thank you for this opportunity this year.
And Jason, I hope you have a great year. Have you got a couple of conferences coming up?
Not until spring and fall of 2017, so we get a little break from the conferences.
So is the spring conference the heavy one for training, or are they different?
They're a little different because Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs trains us for our spring conferences, and then we as an association set up the training for our fall conference.
All right. Well, we hope you have a great year. We're going to look forward to talking to you once a month about some current issues and topics that are coming up, and we look forward to those. And I'd like to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Lisa Klenk, the immediate past president, and Jason Marquardt, the current president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We have a few mentions today. There is the 6th annual Minnesota Warriors Veterans Day Classic coming up. Support the Minnesota Warriors hockey program and the Rogers Youth Hockey Association on Sunday, November 13th at the Rogers Activity Center for the 6th annual Veterans Day Classic. The matchups will feature members of the Minnesota chapter of the NHL alumni. Events include Dean John's honor roster induction from the United States Marine Corps, a silent auction, and a chuck-a-puck. Minnesota Warriors hockey helps educate, train, motivate, and encourage individuals who have physical or mental disabilities incurred during service to the United States. Go to mnwarriors.com for more information. And also, in celebration of Veterans Day, Mall of America, Star Tribune, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon have teamed up for the Ultimate Chef Challenge. Military personnel will be paired with Mall of America chefs in a unique cooking competition that will use MREs, that's a packaged meal ready to eat, as the secret ingredient to crown one cooking duel the winner. Join us in the Rotunda on November 11th starting at noon to honor active and veteran military personnel with this lively event and see what they can do with those MREs to make them taste good, presented by the Star Tribune. And last, please join us this coming Tuesday for a free pre-screening of the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Go to our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page for more information, and perhaps we'll see you next Tuesday night to pre-screen that movie. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Willie Pargo, Lisa Klenk, Jason Marquardt, Commissioner Larry Shelletoe, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an update from the Marine Corps League and start our series on Native American service in celebration of Native American Heritage Month. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.